UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. Our first guest is David from Montana, sharing a daytime sighting of multiple UFOs witnessed by himself and his daughter in 2019, which David also managed to capture on video. And he will also be sharing a couple of his paranormal experiences as well. Then we head to Pennsylvania to hear from Wandy about a nighttime sighting of a UFO also captured on video while traveling on a road with his girlfriend in 2014. But before we hear from our guest tonight, I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that has left a 5-star ratings and review recently on Apple Podcasts. And they are Blood Eagle 64, Shuna 1215, Daniel, Navajo K, Arput 33, ICAN 24, Kamikaze Hat 1984, R Loco, Abo, and finally Dalton. Thank you, everyone. Not only does it help this show reach more people, but I like to read them as well. So if you haven't done so already, please take a couple of minutes to leave a review of the show. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find the link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Hello, David, and welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for coming on today. Calling from Montana?
Montana, yes.
Big Sky, is that right? Big Sky?
Big skies, yes.
Great stuff. You have some UFO sightings and a couple of paranormal experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us, please, David?
Sure. I guess my first story is when I was in my 20s, and it was just a short dream that I had, you know, asleep in my bed at home, and everything was dark. All of a sudden, there were these figures. Somebody was with me. I couldn't see them. There's all these figures that were like people through different eras of time, and I was floating through them all, and I sort of felt like they were like my past lives. Could see maybe 30, 40 figures that were floating in this darkness, and as I floated with this person who I couldn't see through them all of a sudden I just turned, my heels turned up, and I started zipping faster and faster, and then as I looked down at my feet, all of a sudden I could see the headboard of my bed, and I felt my heels and my feet go through the headboard of my bed, and I sort of saw myself zip through the top of my bed, and I felt my heels hit my heels. As funny as that sounds, I felt my feet hit my feet, and I jolted awake like I just got shot into my body and came, you know, right awake, breathing heavy. Like, that was the craziest, that's the weirdest dream, most realistic, like, I was there dream that I've ever had. It was pretty amazing, and I didn't know what to think of it. So I just always remember that dream, and that's just a small little story, but it's something that's always stuck with me. I didn't feel like it was just a dream. It felt like I was really there. So then I have another story. I was in college, and there's different people who are transient sometimes in college towns, and this one woman, she would sleep on our couch sometimes. We had some of an open door policy, and if people needed to crash in our house, you know, my roommates and I, we didn't care. It's a college town, and people would come and go all the time. And she, her story was that she had some mental instabilities, and she would get possessed at times by dark spirits. And you can tell when it would happen. She played a guitar. This sort of comes important later in the story, is that she had a shaved head and the brightest red lipstick you could ever imagine. And then she would play these dark, ominous songs on the guitar, and really would go into these dark places and would wander around talking to herself, and, you know, was sort of out there a little bit. And we sort of felt, you know, bad for her. And so she would stay on our couch at times and crash. And one time this huge rainstorm hit, and we were out on the deck, and she was there in her corner. Sometimes we didn't even talk to her. She would just linger around, and the rainstorm hit, and she ran out into the rain and said, I'm free. I'm back. And finally, whatever that rainstorm, lightning storm happened, she was running around so, you know, so happy to feel like she was herself again. So that was just something I was like, wow, that's crazy. So that summer, my girlfriend and I at the time went on a trip out to the Navajo reservation, and we were at a campground. This college I was from is in Ohio, so we were on the other side of the country, and we were staying at this campground, and this guy set up this tent next to us, and all of a sudden my girlfriend says, I think I need to go over and talk to that guy. And I was like, oh, okay. She went over and started talking to him, and we came over, and he said, yeah, I came here because I was told I was supposed to talk to somebody. And so we started talking to him. He said that he talks to the spirit world, and they tell him where around to go, and they help provide for him. And he's telling us all these stories. And then, so I thought, well, you know, hey, I'm going to ask him about this woman. So I asked him about her, and he sat there for a little bit. And then he's like, oh yeah. He's like, I didn't tell him anything about her. I just said, there's this woman back, you know, she would get taken over by dark spirits, and just told it. I didn't say anything what she looked like or anything. And all of a sudden he said, oh yeah, she's the one with the shaved head and the bright red lipstick. And he knew exactly, obviously whatever the spirits told him, exactly what she looked like. That blew me away. I couldn't believe that. And that's when I was like, wow, that was sort of proof to me, I guess, in a way. I was like, that, you can't explain that. There's no way this guy just in the middle of the different side of the country I've never seen before just knew that. So that sort of blew me away. I do have a short paranormal story about my brother-in-law's house. He had acquired this house there was an older couple had lived there, and he had fallen off a ladder tragically and passed away, sadly enough. And so the older woman, I, you know, sold the home, and my brother-in-law bought it. So we were staying there, and in the back of the house, and I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So I got up, and as I'm walking through the kitchen, the light bulb right as I start approaching the light bulb in the kitchen, just goes chink and flashes on for a half a second. And I thought, wow, okay, that was weird. So I continue on to the bathroom. The bathroom had a night light in it, so I didn't turn on the main light or whatever. And I'm going to the bathroom, and all of a sudden, this bright light, like a light bulb, but even a little brighter in the shower, goes chink and just flashes the whole bathroom. From the shower, I start fumbling for the light. I turn the light switch on, and you know, the light bulb isn't in the shower. It's you know, above the sink. So that was that messed with my head a little. I was like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. So we were joking that that was Gramps, that he was still around there. So that was a weird little paranormal thing that happened to me. Then I was my two UFO encounters. My one happened when I was still in my 20s. I was living in South Dakota. I was living middle of nowhere, working on a piece of land. There's about a little over three square miles, surrounded by other open land. It's in the middle of the prairie out in South Dakota. I was helping to manage, take care of the land, fence work, stuff like that. So I lived out there by myself, and I was, it was summertime. It was, I don't know, probably around 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was walking out to the shop, the barn, and I looked out towards the preserve, the land, and there were these white lights, like sort of on the horizon, sort of out on the preserve, going, just sort of floating back and forth. And I just stood there. I don't know how long I stood there, just thinking, well, what can that be? I was completely flabbergasted about how can these, there was probably about, I don't know, 5-6 white lights, not two white lights, like a car or anything. And plus, just to give you a quick sense of the property, there's bogs and wetlands, and there's like a single road, two track that you take an ATV on usually to get back into this land. And you have to stay on the two track, and you just don't drive around this land. It's prairie, pothole, wetland. You just can't drive around on it. You have to stay on specific tracks. And these lights were just going back and forth. I just stood there. I couldn't, you know, when you're running through your mind, like, well, could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be this? It didn't make any sense to me. And I just stood there not being able to figure out what it could be until I finally just thought, oh, are those UFOs? I don't even know, like, if that could, like, it didn't make any sense to me. So I sat there and watched them for a while, as they just sort of went back and forth. There was no way that there was nothing else around, and no one could drive out there because the gate's locked. There's no way else out on the property. There's no one driving around out there. So there was no other vehicles out there. Let's just say that. So it was unexplained. And to this day, it's just, I have to chalk it up to some floating white lights that were going back and forth out there. I don't know. And so I told my boss the next day about it, and he just said I was crazy. Although, of course, he couldn't come up with any explanation either. So I just sort of, you know, what do? You just talk about it, forget about it. And so then I finally sort of remember that after my next incident, which was in Montana. And so it was in the summer, later in the day, but it stays light so late here. And I was on the back deck with my daughter, and she's about 7 years old. And she looked up and said, "Dad, what are those lights up there?" And I looked up, and this was 2019, 2 years ago. So I looked up and was like, "What?" That there were seven circles, I don't know, about 1,000 feet up in the air, 1,500. It's hard to gauge at that distance. And they were traveling. They were sort of floating slowly under this dark sort of rain cloud that was, it wasn't like a pouring rain, but it was lightly raining from this dark cloud, and they were just sort of traveling under it. There was different colors. I remember commenting on the video. So I grabbed my, I had my phone on me and I started recording, and my daughter was saying, no, no, those can't be airplanes. They're round and they're all floating so slow and together. There's too many of them. It can't be an airplane. So it was funny to hear my daughter trying to come up with the rationales of what we were looking at. We just sat there and watched them. There were different colors. There was like a red and a yellow and a bluish. And they were sort of, they were round. And then they sort of had like a circle of light sort of on the bottom part that sort of looked like it rotated around slowly a little bit. I mean, the videos, you can't see the color, but I know with my eyes, I could. So I recorded them and they just sort of kept traveling slowly under this cloud. I couldn't see the colors on the video, but after I watched it, but I could see the colors with my eyes. And so I was commenting on them, and they were traveling slowly under this cloud. And I didn't get it on the video, but on the video, there is a thunderclap. So lightning shot out of the cloud right behind these orbs, and they just kept slowly going across the sky. It's a 3-minute video. I didn't get the very tail end of them going towards the mountains, but they went from one side of the valley all the way to the mountains on the other side slowly. They were probably like for the height, roughly, guesstimating the best I can, they looked to be about the size of like a large van. For how high they were and for the size that they were, not some little drone, nothing like that. For how high they were up and how big, you know, how they looked, they'd be about the size of like a full-size pickup or a large van that was maybe 1,000 feet up, maybe even a little bit bigger. But there was no, you know, what a drone looks like. There's an arm, there's a blade, they were perfect circles with just a light. And they just sort of just slowly floated across the whole sky. I just couldn't believe it. Just kept recording. They just sort of went off into the distance over in the mountains, and that was it. They just slowly trailed off. They didn't jump around. They didn't like do anything crazy. But they just sort of unexplained. I've watched the video 100 times, and I've showed people it. And, yeah, everyone pretty much has the same thoughts of, wow, what was that? You know, 7 of these. And I live pretty rural. You know, there's Malmstrom Air Force Base up northwest. But yeah, there's no drones. I've never seen a drone in the sky ever around here. And those 7 were way too big to be any drones. Now, I guess they could be some secret government thing that we don't know about, but it sure was nothing that I've ever seen before that could be explained in my mind. I guess that's my big story of seeing the UFOs over a couple of years ago above my house.
And it's an interesting video because you actually sent it in. And to our listeners, if you want to check out the video, just head down to the show notes and the link will take you direct to the website below this episode and take a look. Yeah, it doesn't look like drones to me.
Yeah, no, it doesn't at all. And that's what my favorite part is, hearing my daughter try to come up with what she thinks they could be. But she's the one that saw them first. I don't know if I would have even looked up and noticed them if it wasn't for her. So I'm glad she saw them.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's an unusual one. And yeah, they do look to be a bit of a size, way bigger than a drone.
Yes, for how high up they are, they don't look huge on the video. But for how high up they are, traveling sort of under that cloud, there's no way they could be like small, like you would not see them. They look, for how big they look for being that high up, they have to be a decent size, like, you know, like I said, like a large van or something like that at least. So
okay, let's go back to the woman that was actually staying with you.
Yes.
Did the guy who had the contact with the spirits, did he ever say to you what her deal was? What was that with her?
You know, he just sort of verified her story. There's this woman, she'd stayed at her place. She said that she would get possessed by dark spirits. And I told him, you know, like where and when this occurred. And he just sort of sat there and he said, oh, yes, they're telling me he described her first, and then that's when I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's her. Pretty unique characteristics to know about someone. And he said, yeah, that she would get possessed. They would sort of come over, and he said, yeah, she gets possessed by dark spirits. They sort of inhabit her, take over her personality. Yeah, so he just sort of verified her story. He didn't really expound too much on anything else about anything else like that, but just sort of verified that that was true.
Yeah, just knowing those details is pretty pretty amazing.
Yeah, not too many women that, you know, shaved head and bright red lipstick. I mean, yeah, it's not a normal characteristic you can pull out of a hat. So that sort of blew me away.
Well, I hope she managed to find a remedy for her troubles.
You know, yes, like anything in college, I moved out of the house and, you know, I wasn't that close with her, but yeah, never heard from her again. So I hope she's doing well and she's found maybe some peace from that. So that would not be something that I would want to have happen. She looked pretty happy when she sort of, during that rain thunderstorm, jumped out and felt free. So it wasn't something I think she enjoyed having happen to her. So,
and if she's out there and she's listening to the show, get in contact to see if you're any better and what was going on. It's very remote. It's a very remote chance.
Yeah, yeah. You never know.
You never know.
But it was at Bowling Green State University. I'll say that. So that would narrow it down a little. So
good stuff. And those other lights you had, and there was no access. All these white lights, there was no other access other than that one road, and it was all gated.
There was a ranch on the, when I'm looking back at the lights, there was a ranch on the right, totally fenced off with one access or two accesses, but off the other road with total fences and wetlands in between. The backside of the whole of the ranch, there was a road that led in there that turned into pretty much piles of rock and hills that you could not drive in on. We never even accessed the ranch from that end. And then there was another whole ranch and field as far as you could see with not even a house on it. I mean, it's just open grazeland for cows. These weren't tractors. There's no farmland. That you can't farm this land. It's prairie pothole region. It's too wetland, too many wetlands, too many hills and rocks. So they just use it to graze. So it wasn't like it was harvest time and, you know, no one was cutting hay. Yeah, the only access you really accessed this land was from the gate that's right next to where, you know, I was staying. And you had to stay on the two-track road. It branched a couple times out on the ranch, but seven cars would have had to driven by me to get back to where they were. So there was no way anybody was driving around. And the way they were going back and forth, like the light would go to the left, stop, and then just float back to the right. These lights never went up or down. They never flickered. Like, you know, when a car turns around, you're going to see headlights turn around. These lights stayed white and perfectly circular and just sort of floated back and forth. Sometimes they'd go up a little bit and that was it. And then they just sort of faded away. They didn't zoom off or anything. I just sat there and stared at them until they weren't there anymore. I didn't know what to make of it. So yeah, I went through every little detail of what I could come up with.
Usually when I hear about lights above like a marshland, you know, you always think of natural stuff, releasing of gases and stuff like that. But to have a few of them and moving around left and right, I mean, that's not.
And this isn't like a big wetland or bog. I mean, they're just like little holes, you know, like 100 yards or 50 yards of a hole that's wetland, you know? So yeah, there's no swamp gases or anything like that. So yeah, it was, you know, unexplained. So I don't know to this day. Obviously my boss just kept, you know, saying I was crazy. So I guess I didn't want to think I was crazy. So I just sort of forgot about him.
When you got a chance, if you can pinpoint the location, we'll see if there's anything, any old stories. Because a lot of time you'd have old legends and stuff about lights, which go back decades and sometimes 100 years.
Yeah, this is about an hour south of Watertown, South Dakota, in the middle of nowhere, sort of. So that's where about 45 minutes south of Watertown, South Dakota, on the east side of South Dakota.
Because you never know, you know, sometimes things come up and sometimes you'll get these, you know, Native American stories, you know.
Yes, yes. And actually out on the preserve there, there's actually there was an old rock circle that I'd heard was from Native American days out on the preserve. So, yeah, you know, you never know. The history of the land, none of it had ever been tilled. It was all pristine land that just had been grazed. It's never been plowed. It's never been developed.
No, you never know. You never know. Interesting. That's really cool, that is. Yeah, your dream was strange, wasn't it?
That was crazy. That dream has stuck with me my whole life, and I've never had anything like that before. It was so real that I felt like somebody was with me, sort of showing me, like, hey, these are some of your past lives, like women and men from just, so it was almost like a wax museum, you know, just sort of going through, floating through these figures and then shooting into my bed and seeing my headboard, feeling my heels hit. Yeah, that was crazy. I'd never experienced anything like that since.
So they were all wearing like period clothes.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't put that into this. I forgot. That's right when I was starting and I didn't quite give the details of that. But yeah, they were all, it was like from men and women from different eras. Yeah, just wearing all different period clothing.
I mean, I do believe in past lives, you know, and it's, you know, maybe they were your previous lives.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of the feeling I had at the time. So whatever was sort of carrying me, bringing me through, floating through all these figures were, that's sort of what I felt like, you know, or was being explained to me in a way, you know, through a feeling.
It's interesting because I know you can have past life regression, can't you? Because I knew this psychic lady years and years. She's passed now, but years ago she used to do like past life regression where she'd relax you and she'd take you back to your previous lives. I never had it done to myself. My mother did. I never did. But I find it interesting, really interesting.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Yeah, because I believe in that too. And I've been to a medium one time, and she was talking about past lives and stuff. So she didn't go into detail, but yeah, it's definitely something that I believe in, especially after that dream. But
yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a little bit annoying when you get so many Napoleons.
yeah. No, it didn't seem like there's like a lot of kings and queens,
yeah, you want to be someone normal, you know, you want to be farmer, or
I don't know, history doesn't always prove well to those people either, usually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I find it interesting as well. I like the idea of, you know, when you pass this life, you then have another one with a new set of problems and situations and stuff.
Yeah, and then you sort of just you get your memory erased, but maybe not fully. It's like in your archive somewhere, like you said, maybe you can get it pulled up a little bit. So
yeah, because it's really interesting when you watch the kids, when the kids are like 3, 4, 5 years old and they start saying all this stuff, like they remember being this person. And I remember one story where this little boy was saying he was this individual, this man. And he told his parents, you know, where he lived, what he did and all that. And he actually drove to this location.
Oh, wow.
As it turned out, this bloke actually did exist.
Huh. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
There's no way a kid would know this. Not at that age.
No. And when my daughter was younger, she would say, oh, she sees colors. She sees this. She sees that. And we would always sort of inquire and be like, oh, really? Tell us more, you know? And yeah, so, and it's faded, you know, it's like that age range of 3 or 4, like that kids seem to have still a foot in another realm a little bit still. And she called them her visions, and she would see things all the time. And I don't think she ever fully told us all about it, because I think she knew that maybe they weren't normal, you know, for our normal world here.
Sure.
But she would tell us things, and it's faded, you know, as she's gotten older. So there is that period of time, I think, that, yeah, kids definitely have a little more clairvoyance.
Yeah, and I think elderly people as well, you know, when they're on the way to kind of cross over And, yes. You know, in the couple of years, months leading up to their death, and then children. So
yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I would like to say thanks, and I love your show, and I really appreciate everything you do, and let people tell their stories. So.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that, and I also really appreciate having you come on today and sharing some of these accounts.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me the chance, and I love hearing everyone else's stories, and I'm glad that people are coming out and telling their stories, and maybe one day we'll get a chance to maybe find out some more truths that are being kept from us. So.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. And we can only really do it by, you know, piecing this big puzzle together.
Yeah. And with this, everyone having a phone and camera on them now, I think that is starting to help push some more, you know, they can't deny it forever when it's becoming so apparent, when so many people have so many now videos and pictures and stuff, because everyone's got a phone on them now that does that. So I think that's helping.
I agree. Yeah. So everyone out there, get snapping.
Yes. I wish I had a video of my first one, but at least I got a video of the second one. So
it's been great talking to you.
Yes. Thank you, Nick. Thanks for your time. And I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. And I look forward to listening to your other shows.
All right. You enjoy the rest of your evening, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, Nick. You too.
You take care of yourself, buddy.
Bye.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Welcome to the show, Wandy.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great. Great to have you on. And you're calling from Philadelphia.
Right, Philadelphia, yep.
Now, you recently sent me a video of a sighting you had, but you've had several other sightings as well. Would you be kind enough to start at the beginning for our listeners, please, Wandy?
Sure, no problem. I would like to start when I was a young boy. I believe I was around 4 or 5. I remember waking up one night and just, you know, hearing some noise in a dark corner of my room and just waking up, and I didn't know what it was. I just screamed, you know, for my mom, mommy, mommy, mommy. Of course, you know, she comes running in the room. She picks me up, you know, and just takes me to the room. She didn't ask me, you know, what was it, nothing, you know. And she just took me and basically just put me to sleep in between her and my dad, you know, on the foot side, by the foot end. It had to have been maybe, I want to say, maybe 5 minutes. And, you know, I started getting that fear that I felt when I was in the room, like something was there. And, you know, I try to like wiggle, but not like too hard, so my father wouldn't get mad. But, you know, none of them would, but, you know, they wouldn't even move. It's like they was really like fast asleep. And, you know, I try to wiggle a little bit more and nothing. And, you know, I kind of like turn around to look towards the other way. And I see kind of, it's almost, I want to say like an electric white fog just come through the wall. And kind of like manifest into this. At that point, you know, I just want to describe it as I saw it, which was a small little figure. And halfway, as he just went right through that wall, he stops halfway, looks at me, and just keeps going through the wall and disappears. That was my first encounter that I've had of that kind. Years later, you know. I'd see, you know, orbs and things like that. But, you know, I would never, ever think nothing of it. it was just like, oh, wow, you know, like the star twinkled. Maybe that was it. But besides that, I've seen a boomerang shaped UFOs. I've seen, you know, of course, the orbs, the orange, the red ones. I've seen which appeared to me to be like a prism, if I was to describe it, like prisms. I've never was able to, you know, like never was conscious enough to, you know, sit here, maybe take a picture, record it until this UFO that I saw. And then if it wasn't for my girlfriend at that time, I wouldn't have even recorded it, because these things leave you in, I want to say, such a wow state. Like, you're just stunned, so amazed that your eyes is glued and you just want to like not take your eyes off it. Like, it's so amazing. And at the same time, your brain just trying to understand it and try to like put meaning to this and, you know, put it into words. That, you know, that's why I get like a lot of people really don't think about, you know, grabbing a phone or go get a camera or anything like that. I understand where they're coming from that part. Coming to the video. The video was, it was one night, I was bored, didn't have nothing to do. It was early. It was me and my girlfriend. I hit my cousin up, you know, hey, like, hey bro, what you doing? He's like, nothing, you know, about to, you know, chilling in the backyard for a while, probably bring out the kids and stuff like that. I was like, do you mind if I come over? He's like, nah, come over. We start heading towards his house, which at that time I lived in East Brunswick, New Jersey, and he lived in Edison. So we were traveling on the road. I want to say it was nighttime. I know that, but it was around 7 o'clock, something like that. And the night prior had rained, so it was real muggy outside. So, you know, we had the music blasting, all the windows down. We're just driving, and I looked to my right, and there's like a wooded area, and I see these two big bright lights. And right away, like, I notice, and I'm like, damn, like, that has to be a pickup truck with its high beams on, just on the back road over there somewhere. And I tell my girlfriend, I'm like, damn, that truck must have like some new HIDs or something like that. And I bring my phone out and I text my cousin. I'm like, bro, we're about like 15 minutes away. And I look back to see if, you know, this, I was going to be able to see the truck, you know, maybe it was like some cool truck, and the roads was going to meet. But when I look over, the two lights are hovering about the trees. And right then and there, I'm just stuck looking at it. I'm like, what? I'm like, huh? Like how? Like, and then I look over and I tell my girl, I'm like, babe, like, the lights are hovering about the trees. As soon as I tell her, she looks over and she points basically up in front of us a little bit to the right. And she says, those lights, the lights, I don't know how it happened, but from that distance, I want to say it was about, 100 yards, maybe two, you know, it ended up like right on top of our car. These two lights, like, they were bright, but it wasn't bright to the point where you couldn't look at them, and they, like, it didn't bother your eyes or nothing. And they were just almost like moving with traffic, but like you could even, it was so smooth, like you couldn't even tell. It almost looked like it was standing still. And she's like, whoa, that's weird. Record that. And as soon as when she said record that, that's like when I snapped into action and dug in my phone. And even though I was, you know, texting my cousin the whole time, I had totally forgot, because I'm just lost right now. I can't, you know, believe what's going on. And I start recording. And that's basically what happened prior to what you're seeing, Nick. What's in the video is after that, the two lights are just there, and they're just slowly with traffic, I want to say, just floating there. And out of nowhere, third light appears like right in front of it and turns into like a diamond shaped kind of craft thing. And it's just there, and it's just like hovering slowly. But I don't know if it was a craft or it was just three individual lights, because it was, at first I really couldn't tell until like a little bit of the moonlight hit it, and then I was able to tell it was a craft. The bottom was like so dark, it just faded in with the sky. Like you really couldn't see it until like a little bit of light hit it, like a little bit of moonlight hit it. And then I was able to see, you know, the triangle shape that the three lights had actually formed. At this point, the ship quickly just dodged to the left. And as it dodged to the left, I tell my girl, I'm like, look, did you see that? She's like, yeah, I'm looking at it. And I'm like, did you see it? It turned to three lights. She's like, yeah, I see it. And then as we're talking, she yells out, whoa, it has more than three lights. And I look up and like a whole bunch of lights just turned on this craft and just like melted. I want to say like a lava lamp. And it looked like it vibrated in the sky. I don't even want to say like it was vibrating. Like it was, I was looking at it and it was kind of like leaving like after images of itself, of where it's been, like how fast it was moving type of thing. And it just darted to the left. And me trying to record it, I almost hit my girlfriend on the face with the phone because I swung it to the left. And she was like, oh, wait, move, babe. Like I can't see. That was the weirdest thing ever. By the time I got to my cousin's house, I was shaking. I didn't know what to say or whatever, but me, you know, trying to get it out there and speak about it. Like I showed my cousin, and you know, he was like, that's probably a plane, you know, and just brushed it off. And I ended up, you know, just safe folder and never showing it again for years until but hearing this show basically made me believe in myself again, because you know, a lot of people having like the same encounter or something familiar to mine, it made me just speak out, and you know, it made me feel welcome.
Good job, man. It certainly is an interesting video. To our listeners, check it out. It's on the website for this episode, so go check it out. It's unusual. Really don't know what to make of it. It certainly doesn't look like a plane.
Yeah, that's the first thing that, because, you know, I've been, you know, pushed to the side so many times about the subject with my cousin, which are, you know, my immediate family, which I'm always around, that, you know, I never brought it up again. I ended up, you know, telling this story one time, and then UFO Chronicle ended up popping on my Spotify, and I clicked on it and started listening to some of these stories. And I was like, wow, like, I'm not crazy, you know, like, these things do happen to, like, ordinary people.
And it does daily, people all over the world, you know, so you ain't crazy. And again, when people tend to ridicule about this, you know, it's generally because they haven't seen any, or really even experienced anything unusual. So it's very easy to people kind of just shrug it off, you know, kind of push you aside with it. And it's a shame, really, but not only did you see what you saw, but you recorded it as well. So,
like I said, if it wasn't for my girlfriend, I probably would not even had recorded it, because it's these things leave you in such like awe, jaw drop, and just you're just stuck there hypnotized looking at these things that you don't really think about really recording these things or anything like that, because it's amazing. It's amazing to see.
And I've been the same, you know. I've been outside, I've seen something very strange in the sky, and getting my phone recording it couldn't even be further from my mind, because you're just in awe of what you're seeing. And it happens. Definitely. Happens all the time.
After a while, this was 2016. So after a while, I really got into, you know, spirituality and things like that, and meditation. And I've done a lot of deep meditations, and, you know, seen a lot of things. Basically, when I contacted Nick, you know, and started hearing all these stories and things like that, I did a deep meditation into, basically I went in with the question, and why now? You know, why are people seeing them so, you know, frequently now, and why they're appearing so much now? And I ended up in a deep meditation where I ended up contacting some being. I don't know. I didn't know who it was, but he kind of showed me and kind of answered that question I went in with. What this being showed me is incredible, and the reason why they're showing up now. He showed me his planet. It's blue. It's like bluish gray. It was maybe like, I want to say like 30% water. And there were, I don't know, there was like two factions or two different species on this planet, but they were battling for the last resources that his planet had. this went on for years until, you know, they dropped, you know, a couple of the big ones and destroyed the planet. But, you know, he showed me that in like real and in detail, and basically like a fast forward movie type of thing. And then he basically reflected it on Earth, on how we are running down our resources, where we're basically not going, you know, no rainforests or our seas, or, you know, we're destroying our seas. And at some point we're going to get somebody that's going to, for the last resources of the world, somebody's going to push the button and end up, you know, basically doing happening the same thing as how it happened to his planet. And they're here, you know, hopefully trying to prevent that and hoping that it does not happen. So after I seen all that, I kind of like ended up in an empty space, just falling back kind of like to my body. And as I'm falling to my body, I see this being. There was somebody taller standing next to him. I couldn't really see him, but I saw the small being. It wasn't extraterrestrial, but his head, you know, wasn't, you know, almond shaped big or nothing like that. It was a bit more human like, which is it did have, you know, the big black almond eyes. And he looked at me, and as soon as he looked at me, it took me back to the memory when I was 4 and I saw the white being, and he said, "Friend." And right then and there, I was dropped, and I woke up, you know, heavy breathing. Oh, sorry, getting goosebumps on that. That's what I was shown through one of my deep meditations when I went in about the question and why are they showing up now more than any time.
Are you going to do it again? Are you going to explore it more?
A week later, because after that meditation, I was like, I don't know what it was. I was like hit hard, you know, like, I don't know. But my body was hurting at certain points and stuff like that until, you know, I was able to, you know, get my energy back together and able to silence my thoughts. So instead of just me thinking about it, I just followed off from where the vision that he showed me. So he took me back to Earth and told me what was happening. So I went into deep meditation into, you know, what's happening to our planet. And oh man, I came out of that in tears. Like I couldn't believe it. Like I was shown, you know, whales, blue whales, and, you know, being dragged in nets. Being dragged in nets to the bottom of the sea, you know, crying, you know, and, you know, lots of things with, you know, just the planet alone that people really don't, I don't know if they don't believe, we just see that's an animal, you know, or whatever, but they all have feelings and we all connected. And I felt all that. And it was, you know, it was amazing, but, you know, really, really, really deep and hard to take in at the same time to what we're doing to our planet. So, you know, it made me understand what he basically told me in more in depth, and actually, you know, feeling it. And, you know, even right now I'm emotional because I could still feel it. It's hard to speak about and just insane that, that, you know, our greed has come to these things.
You're right, bud.
Yeah, I'm all right.
It's emotional, isn't it?
Yeah, I never knew that, you know, I could experience something through that, through meditation like that, you know. And when I experience these things, like, the world is way more colorful to me than what it was. It means a lot more.
People need to kind of realize that there's only so far this planet will take us.
Yeah, like,
we are connected, you're right. We're connected with the trees. We can, you know, we're connected with all the animals.
We're everything. We're connected to everything. Like, I try to contact that being, you know, that basically, you know, took me back to when I was 4 and he said, "Friend," you know, that was actually him that I had contacted. I tried, you know, envision that again and try to, you know, get that contact again. But I didn't get to contact him, but I was shown a quick vision of a sun behind a sun. I don't know what that means, but there was a sun behind the sun, not too far from each other. It was like one solar system, and it was like a sun behind a sun.
So that's a binary star, where you have a sun, two suns, which basically rotate.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I saw. You know what's crazy? Me thinking about it now is probably just like I explained how his planet is probably why it's only like 30% water, because there's so much sun.
Well, listen, let us know how you get on. Again, look online, you know, because there's a lot of people which do this very similar thing. They do the meditation. They do connect. They do connect for sure. So have a look around, you know, and let us know how you get on.
Okay, no problem. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your platform as well, and I love what you do, and you do it great, and you really let people tell the story, which is what people want to hear, but with great interest. Appreciate what you do, man.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing all this for us.
Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome. That is all for tonight. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you've had an encounter you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. Big thank you to David and Wandy for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back next time. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.